I hate to do this, but let's talk about the title. And
The Parabolist, yes.
And there's a bit of a, is it a pun? Is one who tells parables also a parabolist?
Well, it's got an interesting history, because when I named the novel The Parabolist, I had no idea it was a real word. I thought I'd made it up to represent a group of poets in Mexico City, because I had a list of 20 or 30 weirdo groups of poets, and one of them were the Parabolists, whom Roberto Moreno was a representative of. So that was the initial thought. The second thought was the parabola, the way it's shaped. It collects energy from sources and it concentrates it in a focus, which I say can either illuminate, or if it's left unchecked, it can destroy everything in its path. It was only after I called the novel The Parabolist that I looked in a dictionary and found that the parabolist is someone who speaks in parables. To my surprise, such a word like that, you'd think over the last 500 years of English literature, somebody would have already named a novel The Parabolist. But they haven't. I'm the first. It's a shock. And there are no parables in the book. So it's a red herring. The first definition was someone who speaks in parables. I'm not aware of a parable in the book. There are no loaves and fishes. There's nothing like that. But it is the true definition of the word. But it's not my definition. That just came about by chance.
This is kind of like the opposite of undoing a knot. I didn't realize that we were going to a knot until I got to it.
Until it was around my neck.
Yeah. But good that you put yourself in that fit spot, because it all comes together in an unexpected place, in a party, in an unexpected time.
That was a chancy way of doing it. There's a lot of things going on there. You never really know what happened at the end, and yet it's quite satisfying, I think, in a way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dreadfully yeah. Satisfying. And you took it, when you got to that point. When you get to the point where it all comes together, you actually jump to it being over, and then deconstruct it.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Because you could have done made another more mundane choice, but you took the more dangerous choice again. So
yeah, I think that for some reason I like to tell everybody right at the beginning of what I'm doing what happens. Like, there's no mystery in this book. It's sort of a mystery, but it's more like there is no mystery. You always know who did what. You're always just wondering whether they're going to get caught or whether they even should get caught. And of course they shouldn't get caught. I think that most people reading the book will feel that nobody should get caught for anything here. So that's the satisfaction of it. But deconstructing it or going backwards, even in my short stories, I'll often just write the very first sentence will tell everything that happens in the story. And then the rest of it is how it came to pass. But it works. It works. I don't know why. But I like the way to think about it. But how it happens is always different than what you say. Like, you say, this is what happened. And then you start describing it. And it just shows that your perception of what actually happening and what you have been told is what happening, even though it's the truth, what happens is actually really different.
So do you have a neat little log line like screenwriters have of how to sum up the story if you're at a cocktail party with a bunch of, you know, doctors and doctors' husbands and wives?
Well, yeah. I had to think, you know, somebody says, what's your book about? I say it's a love story played out on the bodies of the naked and the dead.
Which, when you read the book, is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Literally, because they're... Two of the characters are doing anatomy, and they're literally carving up a body.
Yes, yeah. And interestingly, like in Vince, I didn't read Vincent Lamb's book prior to writing mine, because I didn't really want to. I knew we were treading on ground that was very similar. And then when I did read, I mean, we share some rites of passage which including cutting up corpses and having a relationship begin over a corpse in the anatomy dissection room. We share that in our books.
It becomes kind of, I don't want to say erotic, because that would probably get me arrested.
Yeah.
But there's kind of something bonding about the moments when the two of them are, you know, dipping into somebody else's dead flesh and trying to learn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is a fascinating situation to be in. I mean, it's a... Just dissecting bodies has a fascination while you're doing it, and also for people who aren't doing it or reading about it, or it's a pretty devastating thing to do to a body.
What's it like being the Wunderkind at, I'm guessing,
64?
Probably 64?
Yeah.
Because suddenly, I mean, you're hot, man. You're like, and this book is going to do really well.
Well, I hope so, because I deserve to do well. It doesn't mean a lot to me personally. I've always felt good about myself, sort of, and I'm a lucky guy. I have a great family and a great wife, and I want to do this public. You know, what we're doing is important to me, and I get to meet some interesting people, who I've never met, but the book is important to me because I think it is different and it deserves to a fairly wide exposure. And I don't think I'm a Wunderkind. I mean, there's some people that hate my work. I don't know why, but I have this funny comedy and kindness towards people and the sort of the sexual content and stuff. Some people hate it.
I think they're...
So I don't know why, because to me, I look at it as just harmless. The worst thing you could say about it is that it's harmless. But some people just find it, they don't respond to it. Life goes on.
Such a fresh voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The book is The Parabolist. I've been speaking with the author Nicholas Ruddock, and The Parabolist is published by Doubleday Canada.